Rockland, USA.
Welcome, rock stars, from Rockland, USA studios in Washington. This is Rock on the Money. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of your hard-earned monies. We're just here to give you ideas, answer your questions, and keep you updated on that path to multi-millions without any fees or commissions. It's kind of what we do here. I'm Craig with Amanda, and we are your host, and we are so grateful that you've joined us. Phone lines are open 24 hours a day, 989-888-ROCK. 989-888-7625. You can leave a voicemail, text them with your questions or comments, and we'll play those on the show. And if you're too shy for all of that, Amanda knows. You can always email us to podcast at Amanda Rockland knows USA. All. Yes, right. Amanda knows everything. RocklandUSA.com. How you doing, Amanda?
I'm good. How about you?
I just want to quickly remind everybody, you can always call us and leave a voicemail, ask us a question, and we'll play it on the show. I want to get back to that.
Yeah, we haven't had a voicemail in a while.
I know. Well, we haven't really pushed it. So,
that's true. We've had a lot of questions come in through other avenues.
Yeah, so
we want to hear your voice instead of just ours all the time.
Yeah. Hey, what's coming up on the show today?
Oh, it's another good one, Craig. We've got a social media question. We have a couple who's written to us who feel like they're at their lowest point and are looking for encouragement.
Ooh.
Today's topic, our main topic, Craig is going to give us some predictions for the market in 2020 with his crystal ball.
Yes.
And the top five moves you can make now to boost your 401k. And then we'll wrap it up. Your crystal ball. And then we'll wrap it up with our savvy savings segment. And today's topic is college.
Ooh, that's a good one. It's a little too late for me, but
yeah.
I'm just about done paying off my kids' student loans.
I wish I had known this. That's one of your 2020 goals.
Daughter's done. Just getting my son done and I'll be 2020 is going to be mine. All right. Let me read this social media question, Amanda, and this is going to be yours. I'm going to let you have it. Okay.
Okay.
This is anonymous. Don't know who, what, where, but here we go. There's about a paragraph here. I just want to go through it. My wife and I are at the lowest place we've ever been financially. I know things can get better, but I've never been this low emotionally. Please give advice and provide encouragement. Well, we don't give advice. We just give you our opinions. Collectively, we make about $70,000 a year. We have a two-year-old, a mortgage with a balance of $128,000, two cars. Hers is paid off. Mine will be October 2021. Current balance is $7,000. We have about $40,000 in unsecured debt, which has snowballed over the past 2 years. Last thing I want to do is file for bankruptcy. The light at the end of the tunnel is that I have a job interview tomorrow, which comes with a $6,000 pay increase and more to come.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a stable Monday through Friday job. So a second job after hire will be much easier to manage. The problem is our line of credit is maxed out and now payments are starting to be made late on credit cards. Ooh, what advice can you give me? Make mortgage and auto payments a priority, then whatever afterwards. Were you ever able to crawl out from a similar hole? Thanks.
Oh, this is a tough one.
That's a lot going on there.
It's a lot going on. I think it's hard to get perspective when you're in it, but I think looking back, this person may realize that this isn't really a bottom. The things they have going for them are that they're making a really decent salary, even combined. And it sounds like there's only three people in the family. So $70,000 a year should be more than enough to sustain a three-person family. But let me start with the last question about a similar hole to crawl out of. So I've been in a much bigger, I should say much deeper hole before, and I crawled out, but it does take some work. So there was a time a little over a decade ago where my annual income was $8,000 1 year, and then the next year was just slightly more than that. And I paid my rent and somehow found a way to put gas in the car and found a way to feed my son when it was just he and I. This was right after my divorce, from my first husband. So it is possible. I know at the time I felt pretty emotionally drained and hopeless as well. But I would think, take a look back at our one of our episodes a few episodes ago about side gigs. That's one thing to look at, especially once you have this stable Monday through Friday job with the regular hours. But even if you don't have regular hours, there are so many side gigs that we talked about that you can do on your schedule and on your time that don't require going and punching a clock somewhere. You know, fast forward 10, 12 years later, I somehow found a way to graduate from graduate school and then law school and pay all my student loans. We paid off 90 some thousand dollars in debt from student loans in less than 2 years after law school.
Nice.
So it is possible. That was not just law school loans, but that was my undergrad, master's, and law school all together. So 2 years it took, but it was, you know, we weren't spending money on credit cards. So I think at this point you have to stop the bleeding, whatever that means to you to stop that bleeding. It's your cards are already maxed out. So hopefully they've been cut up or put in literal ice in your freezer frozen so that you can't use them. And you have to stop using them and you have to focus on getting rid of that debt. I was making about $70,000 a year when we worked towards paying off 90 in 2 years. So paying off a fraction of that should be completely doable. And the good news is, while you have two cars, one of them is paid off, so that's excellent. And the other one will be paid off in, you know, 18 months, which is not all that long. So keep doing what you're doing there to pay off the car. You definitely don't want your car repossessed. But I would say this, consider whether or not you need two cars. And if you do need two cars, if it makes more sense to sell hers that doesn't have a lien against it and maybe get a clunker, get something that, you know, runs, but maybe doesn't look that great, and use that money that you sell off your car to pay down the other car, so you'll have no car debt, and then, you know, keep throwing that money at that unsecured debt. I don't know, Craig, what do you think?
No, I love it, and thank you for being open and honest about your history with to help them, because that's what we're trying to do. And, you know, I mean, our example is probably one of the best things that we can do.
Yeah.
So yeah. I appreciate that.
It is possible. I mean, 10 years later, here I am, and now we've got substantial, not just savings, liquid savings, but substantial retirement funds and investment properties. And it doesn't take that long in the grand scheme of your entire life to dig out of a hole. Yours isn't as deep as it could, as others have been. So it's completely over something you can overcome. If you just have to change your mindset and just you have to be not thinking that you can't get out of the hole. You have to be 100% committed to, we're going to have this paid off, and by when. You know, we talked about SMART goals in the past. You need to determine what is your drop dead date to have it paid off, and how are you going to make that happen? Not if it can happen, but how.
And we're talking about a couple here. They both need to sit down and agree. Yeah. They're both going to do this. One can't do it by themselves, because if the other one's still charging, it doesn't work.
Yeah. No dead weight and no sabotage, or it's not going to work.
You're either going to do it or you're not, because what's the number one reason of divorce, cause of divorce?
Money.
It's money. So if one of you wants to do it, the other does not, there's, you know, unless you get counseling, that's not going to have a good outcome. So.
Yeah.
So. Love it. Thank you very much. What we got next?
All right. The big topic of today, market predictions for 2020 and top five moves to boost your 401k.
Amanda, people are always messaging me or stopping me and asking me, like, I have a crystal ball. What do I think is going to happen? Look, I'm not an analyst. I'm not. Well, none of them are ever right anyway. I'm kind of geeky about all this. Even though I don't change what I do like to try and figure out what's happening. And luckily, a lot of things have been correct. Doesn't mean I know anything different than anybody else. Nobody can predict what's going to happen.
Nope.
It does affect my stocks, because stocks, even though I do have buy and hold for long term, sometimes I do some short stock picking on my own. Please do not do this unless you know what you're doing, because you can lose your shirt quick. Okay. But if you're just concerned and want to have an overall sense of what's going to happen next year, this is my summary of everything that I've read, everything I've watched and listened to by the people I trust at this point in time, okay? All the indicators out there are showing there's no sign of recession on the horizon for now. The Fed, everybody has said it's not on the horizon right now, so we're still going full force with our investing, which we always do, right, Amanda?
We do.
Yes.
In fact, I'm almost hoping for a recession soon.
I know, so we can buy on a discount.
I can buy more real estate.
Oh, yeah. I'm hoarding cash. Historically, 8 out of 9 times, historically with the stock market, when we've had a year like we had in 2019, the following year has also been up. That's just historical fact. It's not supposed to be as good as 2019. But then again, remember, Amanda, no one thought 2019 was going to be as good as it was. It was supposed That's to be right. flat. Remember
it was
that?
Supposed to be, yeah. Yeah, I do remember. It was no supposed one to be predicted. Just a mediocre year.
Yeah, supposed to be mediocre in the S&P 500 up 28%. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So once again, nobody can predict. Historically, this is what we can expect. Now, what is the big thing that happens in 2020 this year in November?
No, yeah, the elections.
Oh, we have a big election coming up. So I think that's what people are concerned about. If you really want to get down to it, they're like, okay, got an election coming up. So
that's what I'm concerned about.
So here, a lot of people are, and I don't like to get political.
Not just because of my money.
Right. There's two things I don't do with my money. I don't let religion or politics get in the way. However, we have an election coming up, okay? So the key months that I've discovered that we need to watch is January. The end of January, the end of this month, we're going to find out about Brexit. Yes. Over in Europe, that does affect us. So at the end, we're going to find out if the no deal is going to go through. And if that does occur, if a no deal Brexit occurs, we're going to have some volatility come into the markets. That's just that's just the way it's going to. Yeah, it's going to be worldwide because that's going to mess up everything. We're getting into the politics and we're going to keep it very bland here. March.
Tuesday.
Super Tuesday is coming up. And so that's 1/3 of the population will be able to vote for the Democratic primaries. So now we're going to know, hopefully, maybe or maybe not, who is the front runner? Do we have one clear way out in front? Is it going to be Bloomberg? I don't know. Okay.
Yeah. But
if we don't, and there's a big tie, how many people are running at this point?
I can't keep track.
I don't know.
I really can't.
But if we don't have a clear front runner after Super Tuesday, that means we're going to go into July, which we're going to have a brokered convention, which means they're going to have to figure out who's going to run. Instability with politics and government and America is never good for the stock market. That's never what we're trying to talk about. If we do have stability and it's like Bloomberg's out front, whatever, then we know what they're going to do with businesses, stocks, blah, 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 and who's going to be good for the stock market. So that's what I'm trying to get at. January, March, and July is what we're looking at.
All right. So then based on that, what kind of moves should people make in their 401k?
And this is basically what you should be doing anyway. So
I don't think any of our advice changes.
No, nothing really changes. A lot of people are getting more interested in their money, so they kind of want to know this stuff now. These are your general 401k moves for 2020. Number one, if you're not investing, get investing with your 401k or, as Amanda says, an IRA if you don't have a 401k available to you. Did you know only 1 in 4 millennials right now are focused on retirement planning? They're too busy buying houses, their career and doing that, but they're not doing anything with the retirement.
My son just opened an IRA. He's 18.
Yes.
Yep.
I love
that. I'm so proud of him.
So on the flip side.
It's funny. I asked him today, I'm like, how's your IRA doing? He's like, I don't know. You told me to not worry about it.
Whoa. I love it. That's all. Yeah. That's actually pretty awesome. I'm like,
that is the right answer because we got to let it sit and stew for 45 years.
And you'll be a multimillionaire. Just like that.
Yeah.
So on the flip side of the 1 in 4 millennials that are not focused on retirement planning, the number one regret of baby boomers is that they didn't start early enough. So we have
what generation are you in, Craig?
You know what? I think I'm between two. What's 1963?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I am between two. I'm what they call an Xennial. I'm what? Like right between the Gen X and millennials.
This is like horoscopes. I have no idea what all this means.
You know what I learned? It was we are the best of all generations.
Of course you are, Amanda.
The best characteristics from the Xers, the best from the millennials. Yeah.
Mm. Number two, get all of that company match. If you don't know what the company match is, or you don't understand how much it takes to get the company match, call payroll, call HR. Don't just rely on your coworkers because a lot of them don't know either.
Right,
please, just call someone important and get the correct answer. Please do not rely on Facebook for the answer unless it's from me because I know. No, seriously, a lot of coworkers, they probably don't know. A lot of people, believe it or not, do not do enough to get at least the company match. Company match is a 100% return on your money upon deposit.
Right.
There is never, ever a reason not to do that. Never. It's probably the only thing in finance that is a never. There's never a reason not to do that.
You're making me very uncomfortable. The lawyer in me does not like absolutes.
If you looked on the show notes, I even put in capital letters, never, ever. Uh-huh. All right, moving on. I did not mean to make you uncomfortable. I'm sorry.
Yes. Yeah.
What is your common term you use? Well, it depends. It depends. It depends.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was just thinking that, well, Frank, it really depends. There might be a valid reason.
Yeah,
like if you needed the money instead for cancer treatment, then that might be a valid reason.
Depressing me again. Next, get more aggressive with your investing. This is a personal feeling, and I'm actually starting to hear more people talk this way, and I'm glad they're talking this way. A lot of people just default and say, hey, just do the target date fund. What year are you going to retire? 2050? Well, that's the one you should pick. There's two things I don't like about target date funds. Number one, some of them have high fees. Usually they're a fund of funds, and buried in there are a lot of fees. So check with that. Vanguard doesn't do that, but some of these other ones, you'd be surprised at all the fees you're paying for it. Number two, a lot of these funds have bond funds mixed in with stocks. As you get closer to retirement, they up the bonds, less stocks, which means you're not going to make as much. This is
definitely not right now when interest rates are so low.
Ugh, bonds are just anything with bonds in them just are not making money. So here's my speech or my thesis or what do you want to call it, Amanda? I don't know. Because of longevity, if you're not being aggressive enough longer, you're going to run out of money. So if you're doing only a target date fund and you're backing off of stocks too early, and you retire at what, 55, 60 or 65, and you live to be a 90 to 100, that money may or may not make it because you were not aggressive longer. I'm hearing people on CNBC starting to talk that way. I'm glad to hear that's happening more. Now, if you are a Warren Buffett guy, he believes you should be in the S&P 500 index fund from young age and just stick it out because you'll have enough when you get to retirement age that you can weather a downturn in the markets and just let it roll. These are just different things to think about. I'm not an advisor. Please consider your longevity, especially if you're young. I'm confident in my own beliefs that you will live a lot longer than you think you will, especially the way science and gene therapy and cures are occurring at this rate. It's unbelievable. Can you imagine what it's going to be like in 40 years from now, Amanda?
I can't, no.
It's just amazing what happens every year now. It's accelerating. Hey,
so, Craig, I want to follow up on something we were talking about earlier. I did a quick search here on what generation you might be categorized in.
Oh, God.
So it depends, of course, which source you look at, but it does appear as if you are in the tail end of the baby boomers.
Ugh, great.
Possibly on the cusp of Generation X.
I'll take that. Yes. Another thing, real quick, just to close out, consider rebalancing your accounts. What that means, if you're like in two funds, 50%, 50%, one does better than the other and it gets to 52 and 48. It might be time to take that 2% from the better fund, put it in the lower ones. If you were in two good funds in the beginning, now you're buying that one at a discount. And if it comes back up, it accelerates that. Consider that. Yeah. It's done well for me over time. If you have a Roth 401k available at your work, choose the Roth.
Now, I would say that also might depend. If you are making a high income right now, you may be better off with a traditional. Because your income may be lower when you are taking withdrawals, and therefore your tax bracket might be lower when you take withdrawals once you retire.
Especially doctors and lawyers.
Or lawyers.
Yeah, people that are making the six-figure numbers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, I threw this in here really quick. A lot of people are still confused about HSA. If you have a high deductible healthcare account, I mean, we're past that point for 2020. Right now, so you have to wait to fall again. But if you have it in your workplace, consider that. If you're in good health, your family's in good health, you don't really use your health insurance, consider doing that, because a lot of companies give you free money to have an HSA account. Even governments have that. It's not just private sector anymore. So you get a triple tax benefit. It's tax-free when it goes in, tax-free when it comes out, used for medical, and it turns into a 401k when you turn 65.
Awesome.
Just consider that as well. Let's get on to my favorite segment, which is just our second segment.
Savvy Savings
with Amanda, right this after back. You're listening to Rock on the Money.
This after back.
Call our voicemail. Leave a comment about anything you've heard on the show, Amanda.
Okay.
Phone number is 989-888-ROCK, 989-888-7625. You can also text us. We'll read them. We'll play your voicemails and put them on the show. And the good comments, obviously.
Yeah, the good ones.
Especially all of your great comments about Amanda and her.
I haven't heard any, Craig. I think you're making this up.
Savvy Savings. What you got for Savvy Savings today?
Today's topic is college, how to save money while in college. So I think I've mentioned before, my son is 18 and he just finished his first semester in college and about to start the second one here in the beginning of February. So we are keenly aware of the price of college and living in at college. So I thought today's topic would be helpful for those who are also in the same boat or who are looking at college expenses in the coming fall.
And actually, isn't this time of year that people are applying? Well, actually, they started late fall.
Yeah, they start accepting.
Yeah.
Getting notice that, acceptance letters and stuff.
So it's coming up, though.
Yes, it is. Yeah. So the first tip is make sure that you are applying or filling out the FAFSA form each and every year. Yeah. So that's the free federal form that you fill out that helps determine what your expected family contribution should be. So even if you think your income is too high that you won't get any federal assistance, you still need to fill it out because that's also how the schools make a determination of how they're going to award scholarships and grants. Yep. So you do need to fill it out every year, no matter what your income level is. The second tip, once you're in school, you want to make sure that you're not buying any new textbooks. Textbooks are outrageously expensive.
What a scam.
It is. Yeah, it's a scam. But so your options there are you can either buy the textbooks used. That's what I did when I was in college. I always looked for the used ones. And if you go to the bookstore, you can sort through them and see if there's a copy that doesn't have a bunch of highlighting in it or other marks. But the other thing is you might want something that someone else has already done the work of highlighting. So you never know.
Yep.
Or you can rent your textbooks. That's another option. Trust me, you are not going to read your book again after you finish the semester. I thought, oh, this is a really cool book. I'm going to put it on my shelf and I'm sure I'll use it as a reference. In the 3 degrees I have on my wall, I've never once opened a textbook from any of them again after I finished the class. Mm. So don't think you need to buy a new one and keep it in case you want to use it in the future. To that end, you can sell those books back at the end of the term. Even used books you can sell back either to your bookstore or Amazon. Amazon is a wonderful textbook service. You can rent, buy, and sell books on Amazon. I did that in law school for a few times. You just scan the barcode of the book that you have to sell, and they'll tell you what the offer is, and you ship it in like you would ship a normal Amazon return, and then they just post an Amazon credit to your account, and it's wonderful.
Nice.
Yeah, and you can buy the books there as well, either from Amazon directly, or a lot of times it's sellers that just sell through Amazon. Well, they claim you can save up to 85% on textbooks after you prove that you're a student. You can also get Amazon Prime Student to receive free and fast shipping. And Amazon Prime Student is free for 6 months. And then after that, it's $6.49 a month.
Nice.
So it's cheaper than the regular Amazon Prime. And then, of course, you get all the other benefits of Prime, like Prime Dreaming and music and movies and all that. When you are in school, you want to make sure you're aware of and use all of the included college amenities. And I use the word included in quotes because when we did college tours, a lot of times they would say, oh, hey, this health center is free to you. And it's not really free because you're paying a buttload of fees for all sorts of things on campus. So it's definitely included. So because you've already paid for it, you should definitely make use of it. Mm-hmm. And that's a technical term, Craig, buttload.
I caught that. I got it.
When you're in school, you also can look for and attend events that offer free food. So while you may have a dining plan, the dining plan may only cover so many meals a day or a week. And then, you know, if you're looking to gap fill or save some of that money, like my son's school, it's on like a debit card type thing. So you get charged for the food that you eat and you have like one big balance for the semester that you have to kind of budget towards. So you can certainly stretch that food budget by attending events that offer free food. Yes, there's a lot of pizza involved. So if you hate pizza, that might be challenging, but they do offer other things as well. And then in terms of entertainment, those free events usually are pretty entertaining and have some activities, and you may even meet some friends. You can brew your own coffee. So we talked about how to save on coffee a few episodes back, but this is definitely an area where you can save a bunch when you're in school. Those little coffee shops on campus, they know your weakness and they're going to charge you for it. So set up a Keurig in your own room and brew your own coffee. Even the K-Cup pods or Nespresso pods are going to be a better bargain than paying $4 or $5 for the brew on your way to class. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're using your student discount wherever you can. So keep that student ID on you at all times when you're out and about. You never know when you go somewhere if they offer a student discount, and it doesn't hurt to ask. So a lot of like movie theaters offer student pricing, other events and other entertainment venues offer student pricing at their box offices. So, you know, just ask. It doesn't hurt to ask. The worst that can happen is they say no.
Yeah.
Save on your cell phone by getting on the family plan with your parents, if your parents are willing to do that.
My daughter is still on my plan.
Yeah. So She's 27 years old. Yeah. And that's fine. Even if your parents want you to pay for it, a portion of their bill is going to be less than a single person cell phone bill.
Yeah, it's only $10
right,
to add or on T-Mobile. Yeah. So it's like, eh. Whatever.
Use the school gym to work out. Skip the fancy, expensive gym memberships elsewhere at the Y or whatever. Plus, you're going to save yourself time and gas by not having to drive somewhere to go to a gym. You can get your hair cut by beauty school students who are either on your campus or at a beauty school nearby. Hmm. That's for anyone. You don't have to be in college to do that. My sister went to cosmetology school, so she always had room on her schedule for guinea pigs to get their hair cut. Yeah, so I would say that is a great option for people who have simple hair that they want to get done, or you can call and you can see what kind of models they're looking for. And if you're feeling adventurous and want to go with some new do or don't care what happens, then that's a great option. Mm. carpool home for the holidays. So check around and make sure you make connections with people who live in your same hometown so you can share the driving home responsibilities for like Thanksgiving or Easter or any other time when you want to go home. I did that when I was an undergrad. I was 5 hours away from home, and you know, we all got, there were five of us in the car every time for this road trip, and chipping in for gas sure made it a lot easier. Limiting your eating out, we talk about that all the time for everyone, so that's no surprise. Avoid buying school supplies that you don't need. So nowadays with laptops, a lot of times you don't need a whole bunch of notebooks and pens and highlighters. You can get away with just a couple of those, maybe one notebook for your notes. But and of course, this depends on whether or not your professor allows you to use a laptop in class. Some still ban those, but keep in mind that you have other ways to take notes nowadays. Of course, like when I was younger, I always coveted the Trapper Keeper, and I only had a basic binder, but in reality, generic type of supply is going to be just fine, and you don't have to get name brand supplies. Did you have a Trapper Keeper, Craig?
No, I didn't.
Oh, they probably came out after you were done with school.
Yeah, I was just saying, you know what year you're talking about, right? I had metal lunchbox and stuff like that.
No, Trapper Keepers were the hot thing when I was younger. I wasn't that cool.
No.
You can coordinate with your roommate for room furnishings and supplies. So, you know, if you're moving into a dorm, make sure you know who's bringing a microwave, who's bringing a mini fridge, and you can split those costs so that, you know, first of all, you don't have room in your room for two of everything, but it also helps to cut down the cost if you're only having to supply half of those big ticket items.
See, here's the problem. I never got to do any of this.
You didn't go to college?
I did, but I never finished.
I got through just fine.
Part of the third year, and then the fire department called and said, "Hey, you can report here. You're hired." I'm like, "I'm out of here."
Yeah.
So I became a firefighter.
Well, you didn't do any of this in your first 3 years?
No, I lived locally. I commuted.
Oh, well, that's also a saving opportunity. If you're local, then keep living with your parents.
Yeah, that was great. No, I ended up rooming with some other guys, but yeah.
Yeah.
No, I didn't get to do the whole campus thing. I feel cheated.
Yeah, that is a nice experience. You definitely want to make sure you're applying for scholarships and not just through your school. So we did talk about the FAFSA right off the top, but I do a search every year and help my son find obscure scholarships to apply for. And we track them in a Google sheet on when their deadlines are and their applications. And it's a substantial amount of effort to apply, especially if you are a, you know, white male student with a mother who's, you know, no longer in dire straits. It is a challenge, but there are some out there. The next tip is don't fail any classes.
Yes.
You get charged for it when you retake it, so then you're paying for that class twice.
So
you do want to make sure, one, that you're loading your schedule with classes that are appropriate for where you are in the learning process, and that you are then dedicating your time and energy to being successful in that class.
In other words, what? Talk to your advisor, right?
Yeah, well, and also maybe think on your own as well. I've seen some advisors send some kids astray.
I'm starting to think we don't like advisors at all in this around here.
Well, I mean, a lot of advisors are just other college students, Craig. So
I know.
Yeah.
You talking about financial advisors or college?
College. Yeah.
Oh,
college.
I just want to figure that. Go ahead.
Yeah. Be smart with banking and credit cards. There are so many applications or notices that come in the mail as soon as your child starts or becomes 18. It is insane how they just love to prey on new adults.
Yep.
And every single main event that is at a college has a table set up for the college credit union, you know, offering a free lunchbox or whatever they're offering that day. Don't sign up for something just for a free gift. Make sure you're making a smart decision on banking and avoid credit cards like the plague. You know, you have to find a way to manage without building up that debt. You can't be living your life today on tomorrow's money.
I banned my kids from applying for any of those during college. I said, do not. I will take care of everything. Do not sign up for any credit cards.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, and yep. They did. They avoided it.
Also, back to your car, don't become a chauffeur just because you have your car on campus and other people don't. You don't have to agree to give someone rides everywhere. And certainly if you are, they should be kicking in gas money as well.
And be careful about your insurance companies as well.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, check your state laws as well,
right,
for restrictions there. But assuming there are no restrictions and you're just, you know, being right. a good friend, it yeah. still can be a money drain. Carry a water bottle with you, much more economical. And again, these are good tips for anyone, not just people in college, but have that water bottle with you so you can fill it up on your way to class rather than stopping and buying a bottle of water. Always do a full load of laundry. We've talked about that before, mm-hmm. but especially when you're in college and you're relying on pay per load type of laundry facilities, you don't want to be paying twice when you could have paid once for the washing machine. Protect your stuff, like your surge protectors, and use surge protectors and bike locks. It's much cheaper to protect things, you know, like from a power surge or from theft of a bike than it is to replace those items. Yeah. And also protect things that are in your room. You know, my son's room seems to be the hangout place and it's really cool, but now one of his, you know, laptop power cords is missing. So things kind of walk off if you're the cool place to be and everyone's there and, you know, you never know.
Yep.
And then finally, try to avoid loans. But if you have them, make sure you're paying the interest on those student loans while you're still in school.
Yep.
So that's it.
Or daddy is going to pay them.
Yeah, I wouldn't rely on daddy. Doing. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with doing community college the first 2 years and then finish up either. I mean, there are a lot of strategies with that.
Yeah, that's a good point, Craig. Yeah. There's certainly nothing wrong with sticking with, you know, a trade school either. Trade professions are highly compensated and hard to replace. Yep. You know, it's hard to find a job if you graduate with a degree in English literature, right?
Yes.
But if you graduate from tech school as an electrician apprentice or something, you're going to have a job right away.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're set. That's not going to change anytime soon.
No. They can't replace plumbers with people in India.
Nope. And the robots will not be doing that. It's too custom.
Yeah.
All right. That was great. Thank you, Amanda.
Thanks, Frank.
Don't forget to check out our website, rockonthemoney.com, for all the previous episodes. We have articles, show notes, everything right there, plus links directly to all of the podcast platforms where you can easily subscribe to the podcast, such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, and many others. We really do appreciate all of your support. We have a lot of gratitude that you took the time to check us out. We really do appreciate it. Send us an email and tell us what you think to podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. We'll see you again next time on Rock on the Money. America's Rockland USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.